well, this morning I feel quite off, and that's good, I think. This isn't, if you're looking for a professional church with professional pastors and professional bands, you're at the wrong place. Praise God. All right. Let's pray together for this for ourselves for this message here. So Father, we're opening up your word, and we want to hear from you from your word. So Lord, let us hear, let us see. We ask that and admit our dependence on the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding and to grow our understanding of your word. We are in desperate need of you. We hardly ever admit that, but we are in desperate need of you and for you to open our eyes and our understanding to your word so that we can enjoy you more, be satisfied more, and glorify you more and love you more and understand reality more. So, Father, please bless us with a clearer understanding of reality which begins and ends with you and sits with you. Bless us in that way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Genesis 1, verse 27, we are told that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. One of the many interesting things in the creation account is in verse 11 and 12, we are told that that fruit and vegetation was created each according to its kind. In verse 20 to 21, water creatures and birds were created according to its kind. Verse 24 to 25, all land creatures were created according to its kind. Then we get to verse 26, and God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Humans were created were not created according to our own kind, but in God's image, the likeness of God, the Creator, male and female. He doesn't specifically mention male and female in any of the other living creatures, but with humans he does, showing the importance of gender, his image and likeness expressed in both genders. So male and female were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. The characteristics of masculinity and femininity are characteristics that God has. Feminine and masculine qualities have always existed in God, and he put masculinity in males and he put femininity in females because both reflect the image and likeness of God the Creator. Right? You tracking with me so far? Yeah? Okay. So therefore, mothers and mothering help us understand who God is. Mothering is not just about you and your identity or what you do with your life. It's greater than that. It reflects and glorifies God because females, femininity, reflects the image and likeness of God. Mothering isn't amazing and to be valued just because it has this nurturing quality to it with all these cute little kids up here. Mothering displays for us some of who God is. There are some scriptures that describe God in mothering terms, mothering metaphors, which help us better understand who God is. And they give us more reason to celebrate you mothers on Mother's Day, but not just for the sake of you and that we love you, but your mothering is acting out some of who God is, which helps us know God better, and by doing this, you are glorifying God. So we celebrate you on Mother's Day because we love you. You help us know God better through your mothering, and you are glorifying God because of your mothering. These are important things. You are doing something extremely important. you are making the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords known to the world, to your church family, to your children, to your neighbors, to those that are watching, and that is worth celebrating. So let's look at some scriptures that speak of God in mothering ways. And right off the bat, do not think that I'm saying we should call God Mother God. That is, I find that extremely wrong. It doesn't say that in the Bible. God describes himself as Father, and so we don't go that route. So do not hear me say, we should be calling God Mother God. Forget it. Forget it. Heavenly Father, that's where it's at. But there's mothering metaphors that are used to help us better understand who God is. So here's some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 32 brings up the sins that Israel has committed against the Lord. God had blessed Israel and they were prosperous. But then Israel abandoned God and started worshiping false gods. And in verse 17, those false gods, they're actually identified as demons. We sometimes think that, they're just worshiping something else. So it's not such a big deal. We're worshiping God, they're just worshiping something else. That's not that bad. But here it's actually said, no, they're worshiping other gods, and those are actually demons. So they're worshiping demons, okay? So here's Israel worshiping demons. Then verse 18 says, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. God is spoken of as giving birth to the nation of Israel, which he did through Abraham. He brought about that nation and entered into a covenant with that nation, a nation through whom God blessed the entire world by sending God the Son. So that whole birthing talk is used to explain how Israel, how God's covenant, how the Messiah came about. God started that nation. It was his idea. He made it happen. He birthed that nation. These are his children, his precious little ones, just like your kids. You birthed your kids, and they are your precious little children. But not only did God give birth to the nation of Israel, his children, he mothers them in a number of references. So Hosea chapter 11, verse 3 to 4, the Lord is again lamenting over the disobedience and idol worship of his children Israel. This is a common theme throughout the whole Old Testament. They're rejecting the Lord, their God, and worshiping other things. Over and over that takes place, which is very familiar to us because our kids, what do? Constantly disobedient. Lord help us. So he's lamenting again that they are worshiping idols. And he said, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke of their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. So that description, God birthed the nation, and then he trained them to walk according to his way, and he healed them, and his kindness and his love were given to them, and he eased their burden, and he bent down to them, and he fed them, and he cared for them. So when you think of all the training you give your kids, the kindness, the love, the easing of their burdens, being humble, actually making them survive, that reflects the Lord. You're actually doing something more than just keeping these kids alive. You are glorifying the Lord. You're helping us better know the Lord and how good he is to his children. Do you see that? So it's not just going about doing your thing. You're actually, your thing is actually a shadow, a picture of what the Lord is doing for us, his children. It's a big deal. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. There Moses spoke of the Lord when the Lord took care of Jacob and his family. And in verses 11 to 12, he says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. So this mother eagle with its babies in its nest, the mom watches over them, hovering, spreading the wings, protecting, catching them when they fall, carrying them to safety. That's the description given of God, that kind of interaction with us and caring of us God is giving to us who belong to him. And then you, with your child or your children, watching over them, sheltering them, giving them protection, giving them safety, you do that not because you're an awesome superstar. You're doing that because you're made in the image of God. And that is what God does. And so you are reflecting the Lord when you are doing your mothering. It's not just a job or an instinct. You have been created in the image of God, and you are reflecting the Lord when you're caring for that little sinner. That's fantastic, isn't it? It's not just, oh, I'm a mom today. I drove my kid to dance class. That's not reality. It's not reality. God the Son, Jesus Christ, speaks of himself in a mothering metaphor in Matthew 23. He's warning those religious leaders and just calling them what they are. They're just blind, and they're leading people down the wrong way. And then he addresses the whole city of Jerusalem in verse 37. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So a hen bringing in her chicks close to her, under the comfort and care of her protection, under her wings, feeling her warmth and security. That's what Jesus, God the Son, desired to do. So when you, mom, scoop up your kids, or you're embracing them, or holding them, pulling them in close, comforting them, caring and protecting them, you are reflecting the Lord. You are giving yourself, you are giving your kids and everyone who sees you a tangible taste of what the Lord is like, a tangible taste of the heart of God. Isn't that amazing? That is a privilege. What an honor you have as mom. What a blessing you are to your kids, to the church family. You are a blessing to us. One more. The Lord is in talking about Israel in Isaiah chapter 49. And in verse 15, he said, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. So the bond between a mother and her baby, it's strong, it's tender, it's beautiful. The mom never forgets that little one. And that's the Lord. The Lord does not forget his children. He doesn't abandon them. He doesn't get busy and so heavily involved with something that his children think he's not with them anymore, or they don't matter anymore to him. He does not forget. And you, moms, when you notice your kids, when you listen to them tell you their stories, tell you their stuff that's going on in their life, and even if you don't agree with it, you listen to them, you ask them questions, you're interested in them, you call them on the phone, you send them stuff in the mail, emails, texts. When you do that, you are clearly saying to them, I do not forget you. And in doing that, you are reflecting the Lord who does not forget his children. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. God is using these metaphors to describe what position or approach, what kind of relationship he has with his children, what kind of a God he is. And these mothering metaphors full of protection and love and comfort and tenderness and not forgetting your kids, all of that in you gives us a taste of what he's like. Because all you moms are made in the image of God, when you are mothering, you reflect for all of us what the Lord is like with us. And you are glorifying God in all the big, noticeable mothering things that you do, but also all the little, unnoticeable tasks that you do. So often, God is the only one that sees the mothering that you do. And you know what? He rejoices in how you are doing what he does, which is loving and caring for his kids. So, it's Mother's Day, and it's a holiday that has been commercialized so brutally that it's about cash now. And it's sad that it's gone that route. But for us in the church, it doesn't need to go that route. Because when we apply truth and reality, which is scripture, to the role of moms, we see that it's much more than just about you giving birth to someone. It's much more than you just driving your kids around or making food for them, making sure that they stay alive. It's more than that. And we should never downplay the role of mom. You should never downplay your role as, well, I'm just a mom, or I'm just staying at home with my kids. I'm just doing that. I'm not doing much with my life. Don't downplay it. Don't downplay your role as mom with your adult kids, because the way we're wired up, we still, as adults, want to hear from our moms and want them to pour life into our lives. We crave that. Don't downplay your role. And church, let us never downplay or diminish the roles of mom. They are displaying the loving, caring Lord. That's why we've got to celebrate mothers, because of the Lord. Because of the Lord. Moms, let glorifying the Lord be your primary goal. All right? As moms, let glorifying the Lord be your primary goal. Not raising great children. Now, that sounds weird. But let glorifying the Lord be your primary role in raising your kids, in your mothering. And let that carry you through the endless tasks of mothering and those tough, thankless, serving moments that you constantly, constantly go through. Let glorifying God be your primary goal, because your mothering is a reflection of the Lord, of the Lord. So moms, mother away. And mother hard. Be the best mother you can be. For the glory of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that role of mothering. Thank you for how many moms we have here that have not given up on their kids, but that are loving them and receiving nothing back. Oh, thank you for them, Lord. Thank you that they are reflecting you and living in the image of you so well by giving and loving and correcting. Thank you for that, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would bless our moms with the right identity. Father, there's too many moms that their identity is wrapped up in their kids, and we know that that is wrong. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless our moms in our church family with a clear understanding of their identity being in you. They are someone because you say so. They matter because you say so. They are loved by you, regardless if they have kids or don't have kids. Father, bless them with that firm foundation of being found in Jesus Christ and everything coming from there. And from that firm foundation of being found in Christ, that they would move forward in parenting their children. Bless them with wisdom. Bless them with comfort when they're hurting. Bless them with great joy in their children and in you, and spilling that out onto their kids. Give them incredible perseverance with their eyes that are on you, and with incredible hope that is all resting in you. I ask that you'd bless them, not with hope in their parenting, and not with hope in their children, but with hope in you, the Heavenly Father, who is sovereign over all, that their hope would be resting in you, and they would move forward with incredible boldness and confidence that you are sustaining them and that you are sustaining their children. And if their kids are not following and worshiping you, Lord, I ask that you would increase their faith in you, that you are the one. Only you hold salvation. Salvation belongs to you, and you save people. I ask, Lord, that our faith would be in you and in the salvation that you bring, that you would take our children that are spiritually dead and you would make them alive in you, and that their lives would be glorifying you and they would be enjoying you, and we would be worshiping you with them in our church family. Oh, Lord, bless these moms. Don't let them fall into what the world says about moms. Don't let them fall into that, Lord. Increase their understanding of your word. Increase their hunger for your word and for what you say, who you say they are. Bless them, Father, we ask, with trust in you and confidence in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.